Opportunities for Action. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13a. Since being a daily disciple is a process, I believe small events, I call them opportunities for action, can be identified along the way. As they are recognized and acted upon, these small events, things that seem to pop up in the Christian life, can help men and women grow from immaturity to maturity in Christ. As human beings created in the image of God, designed to become more like His Son, if we pay attention to the opportunities that come our way, the experiences can be priceless. To give you an idea of what I mean, allow me to share a few examples from my own life. My growth as a disciple. Something happened back in 1963 that helped ignite a hunger in me. Were it not for this action step, the course of my life could have proceeded quite differently. When I was working as a high school coach, I met a man named Don Reverts. This tall, sharp-looking guy was talking about something called young life. So I asked him, "What's that?" He said, "Come and see." I went to Cherry Creek High School in Littleton, Colorado, to take in the young life experience for myself. It was amazing. More than 250 young people came once a week to hear the gospel, socialize, and be semi-rowdy. Who says kids can't have fun? I thought. These young people definitely had fun. I became convinced that I should begin my own group like this in the high school where I was working. Don encouraged me and helped get me started. I found an older couple who had a huge basement they allowed us to use as a meeting place. Eventually, my group grew to 100 kids at every meeting. I experienced great joy as I watched the boys and girls become men and women spiritually. Something about me, the essence of my life's vision, was planted in my heart back then. I began to understand the importance of investing my life in others. Don had planted a seed that would later grow and develop. A few years later, in 1966, I finally became convicted to go back to church regularly. I was now living in Aurora, Colorado, teaching physical education at Hinckley High School in Aurora. My wife and I had decided we might want to start looking for a church. Carolyn had grown up in a Christian home, whereas I had accepted Christ in 1959. We finally began to attend Galilee Baptist Church. The Christ-centered preaching I heard there began to convict my heart even more. One night, Galilee's pastor came to our home and we told him we wanted to join the church as members. He looked at me and said something startling. "I don't want you to join the church." You can probably imagine my surprise. Then he added, "Do you know Jesus?" I was stunned. In that instant, I realized the truth about how I'd been living. All along, I had been living for myself rather than for God. Not long after this, the church held its Easter service. During this service, I made a deeper commitment to God. I went forward during an altar call and was baptized. Immediately afterward, a couple came forward to be assigned to Carolyn and myself. Mr. and Mrs. J. Ortley became our big brother and big sister. As my life unfolded further, Jay challenged me to join a Bible study and be discipled. At that point, I recall I gave him my own version of the standard masculine brush-off. "I'm too busy." I claimed to be too immersed in coaching gymnastics and tennis. Jay never wavered. He and his wife persisted and brought the study into my home. As we began to meet, this sparked the greatest period of Christian growth in my life. The Ortleys were involved in the Navigators ministry, and we went through a 2-year topical discipleship program. Every week, that young couple poured their lives into Carolyn and me. Looking back, I realized this was God's way of giving me a wake-up call to committed spiritual growth. As Christians, we can never assume we will grow simply through osmosis, with no effort on our part. My experiences with Don and Jay led to an even deeper commitment to the disciples' life a few short years later when I met Dan Stavely in 1972 in Boulder. Dan had been a football coach under Eddie Crowder at the University of Colorado. Everyone called him the old coach. When I walked into old coach's office for the first time, the first thing he said to me was very succinct. He took one look at me and said, "Sit down, Shorty." I obliged. Then he asked me if I was in any kind of Christian fellowship. "No, sir." The old coach suggested I begin to attend Fellowship of Christian Athletes meetings every week on Mondays at 7 a.m., plus another hour a week with him personally. I took him up on it. Dan worked with me, and through the process, God worked in my life. When I left Colorado University, I joined the ministry of FCA as a result of his influence. Five keys for action. My experience and others indicate that there are five keys to the process of being a daily disciple. These are points to keep in mind as we disciple others and allow ourselves to be discipled. 1. Pursuit. In my own example, Don, Jay, and Dan all knew they needed to keep pursuing me. I had the sense to not close myself off from their efforts. 2. Commitment. Without the commitment of others, as well as my own commitment in response, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere. 3. Openness. Being receptive to the Holy Spirit's teaching was crucial in my life. 4. Perseverance. I didn't always get the message instantly, but Don, Jay, and Dan were patient and persistent with me. And 5. Lack of selfishness. When we put ourselves first, we hurt Christ's body here on earth. The manner in which we influence others down the road can be dependent upon simply making one right choice at a certain time, a choice made not just for the sake of ourselves, but for how we will ultimately serve the kingdom. Again, the disciple's life is a process. Along the way, though, are small events that by themselves may not seem that significant, but in the scope of the kingdom, they can work together to create a masterpiece, a finished product, the mature believer. Every individual is different. We may not always know which step we take will lead to endeavors that enrich our lives and the lives of those around us to God's glory. But one thing is certain. We'll never know what could have been if we simply allow the opportunities to pass by us. On the Road to Emmaus. A simple yet profound story comes at the close of the Gospel of Luke. From it, I believe we can take away something significant, another example of how we can take advantage of opportunities for action in our lives as daily disciples. A host of opportunities for action can be gleaned from the story of the road to Emmaus, Luke 24:13-33. Consider the following. Get into relationships with a few others. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus were spending time together, even in their confusion and sadness. Communicate through prayer and scripture on spiritual and heart issues. These two disciples spent time with Jesus discussing the scriptures, and together with Jesus they came to God in prayer before their meal. Allow Jesus to direct your walk, seek, and search after the Father's will. These disciples asked Jesus to accompany them on their journey, and they were clearly open to the insight he gave them. When you spend time with other disciples, keep things focused on Christ. Jesus asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Their response tells us that they had been talking about Jesus and the event that led to his death. Put your trust in God. These disciples were dismayed by the crucifixion, but Jesus reminded them to see things from God's perspective rather than a human one. Enter into Christ's suffering and brokenness. These two disciples could think of nothing besides Jesus' death. Let Christ open your eyes to his plans, his opportunities for action, for you. Because these two individuals had been open to what Jesus had to say to them, their eyes were opened and they saw the truth. Express to God your willingness to be sent and embrace his call. These two people immediately went back to Jerusalem to tell the others the good news. Read Isaiah 6:8-9. Here I am, send me. Go and tell this people. Open the scriptures to others. Luke 24:32 says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? I recommend as a guideline for Bible study no less than once a week for 1.5 hours. If 90 minutes seems like a lot, consider that this is less time than the average person spends per day watching television. Ask Christ to stay with you and be your guide. We don't know the rest of the story, but after their experience with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, I suspect that these two disciples walked with him daily. Understand the message Christ left the disciples and find opportunities to share it. If we read on past this story a few verses, Luke 24:47 says, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." stay together, and struggle together. Again, we don't know the specific details of these two individuals' lives, but we do know that all the disciples spent time gathering together, sharing their hardships and triumphs. Choose today. In the Old Testament, we find the story of Abraham, who was a true forerunner of faith. Abraham's life is sprinkled with opportunities for action. Time after time, Abraham made a choice to seek God first, Matthew 6:33. The life of Abraham is an Old Testament parallel for the New Testament believer's life. Bit by bit, little by little, as we invest more, we will experience a deepening of spiritual maturity. One small step may be all we need to get us moving in the right direction today. Whenever we move in the direction God wants, at each point, each step, we can find an expanded vision of His purposes, an increase in our own confidence, and a heightened zeal and joy in our life. I could have easily told Don Reverts that the young, bouncy crowd just wasn't for me. I could have blown Jay Ortley off. There were times when the hour Dan Stavely had reserved for me could have simply gone unattended. Henry Blackaby, the author of Experiencing God, spoke here in Denver not long ago, and I had the chance to hear him. This is one of the principles he mentioned. There is never a coincidence in the life of a Christian. Chew on that one for a moment. Things that happen to us, some of which may seem entirely by accident, just might very well be smack dab in the middle of God's purposes for our lives. So this leads to an important question. What non-coincidence is staring down at you right now? Anything come to mind? If nothing of note seems to have happened yet, trust me, friends, something is going to unfold. Opportunities for growth in your life as a daily disciple will occur. Don't miss them.